John 17 and verse 24 through 26. We'll begin with that. Remembering that this is wisdom before, what is it? Wisdom. This is number three of, wisdom before time or before whatever, before everything. All right, John 17, verse 24. Father, I will, this is Jesus praying, and I think we covered a little bit of this, but Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Where I am. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. Okay, and I cut that off right there. I wrote, Jesus is not praying that they be with him in heaven. He's praying, he wants them to be with him, and the wording is specific, where I am. And so, if you're going to go by this literally, they probably are right there where he is, but it's not talking about where you is. It's talking about where Jesus is the I am. The first, the last, the beginning and the end. But he continues that statement. What he's about to say is all of one sentence. He wants them to be with him in a specific place where they can see his glory. Okay. They can see his glory. Now, there's a million definitions of glory and there's a million definitions of what seeing his glory is about. But Jesus is giving his definitions here. Realistically, they will soon see his ascension. Both of these places are considered, in talking about the ascension or the death on the cross, both of those places are considered a real realm of glory. But I wrote, realistically, they will soon see his ascension and his resurrection. Had seen his death. Both of these places are considered places of highest glory. But he wants to take them to a place beyond that, a place long before that. It is a place of pure love before the foundation of the world. And I think it's really important that we understand the use of my words there, pure love, because we would go, we could make that any number of things, anything from, once we get up there, we'll just all love one another, or, you can go off on this in so many ways, but you're not the one who's making it a place of pure love. The Godhead is. And God is love. And God is that with between one another before the foundation of the world, before there was a creation, before there was anything. Genesis says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Okay. That's what it starts with. It doesn't start bringing out anything else until we realize that he obviously wasn't just there at the beginning of creation, that God always was, that he's eternal. And as such, he functioned eternally with the Father, with the Son, and the Son with the Holy Spirit, and all the way around, where they were given to one another. And that's where you get the scriptures when Jesus is talking about the Godhead, when he's talking about the Father, when he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify me. When they ask Jesus, why did you do this on the Sabbath or whatever? He said, I didn't do the works. I don't do the works. The Father does the works. This is not just some sort of a religious, holy way of going about things. This is the literal nature of the Godhead that is love. And so before time, they existed. They created time. Before time, creation, they existed. So they created it. Before all of that, but we don't know how much time God was before there was a creation. If he's eternal, I guess he always was. But the point being that they were somebody, they functioned some way together, and that way is described in the scriptures as love. Okay, so what do I mean by a place of pure love? I'll probably just said it all. Consider the purity of this place where only the Trinity operated. How's that sound? Consider that. Consider the purity of that place. God, which is them as one, is love. God is love. It never said Jesus is love. It never said the Holy Spirit is love. It never said the Father is love. It says God is love, and God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, so there's no division in them. There's no failings. There's no everyone covers one another and is more interested in their good instead of their own good. Pure love, a place of pure love. Okay, so if you think about, because that's what Jesus is saying here, he says that they may be with me, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That's the rest of that sentence. He loved. They were love, and the Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world, and the Son loved the Father, and this is a realm that we're not familiar with. You know, we might be familiar with the teaching of the Godhead, which a lot of places aren't, and how that they function one with another. But we know nothing about a pure place where, in this case three, but everybody is working for the good of the others. Well, that's the world of done. You get there, the Trinity, the Godhead, had been working for your good before you existed. How's that sound? Pure love. Pure love. Okay, so there was a wisdom before creation, and we brought this up first go round in Ireland, and then we mentioned it again the second year in Ireland, and we probably have talked about it somewhat here. There is a wisdom before creation. So let's look in Mark 4:11. And I want to give you some scriptures that, not immediately here, but I want to give you some scriptures that that the Lord used initially to spark some of these things for me to start digging in and saying, well, wait a minute, you know, because the only way that we can think of things is in the realm of what we know and in the realm of what we're familiar with. And in that, they're not of this realm, if you will. Jesus came down here for a while, and then he left. And so this is Mark 4, verse 21 through 23. And Mark 4:11. Am I making you jump around too much? The good news is they're close together. All right. Mark 4:11 and 13. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Okay? Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, or the mystery. I shouldn't make that plural because it's only talking about one mystery. It's the same mystery that we've all been talking about. It's the mystery of what we term the world of done, but in truth we all know that's being in Christ before the foundation of the world, being placed in the what I call the pure Son, the pristine Son, untouched, unfamiliar with sin, unfamiliar with the ways of man or all this. The devil hadn't even been created. Just God. In the beginning, God. And Satan, no, he does show up later, but it didn't say from eternity past. It just says there he is. It's not implying that Satan was an eternal being. All right, so in fact, we know that God created the angels. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So there is a mystery, a singular mystery of the kingdom. You know, you can go online or, you know, go to any bookstore and you will find an amazing amount of books and material on the kingdom. But this isn't probably talking about any of the ones that they're talking about. You know why? Because this one's a mystery. The others, you know, you can know. You can read about them. You can all this kind of stuff. But what he's saying to them and what he's saying to you now for the first time, you know, not tonight the first time, but since we've been on this study, it's been a mystery until God opens our eyes. Amen. And that's clear. And so we wonder, well, you know, why isn't it talking about the kingdom of God that I learned, you know, in, you know, this place or from that person or whatever? Well, one reason is because if you drop down 10 verses and read, so we're in Mark 4, instead of being in verse 13, drop down to Mark 4:21. Still Jesus talking. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? And I would recommend you don't put a candle under your bed, just for, that's probably just me. You know, but I can say Jesus is right. Let's go with Jesus. Don't keep a lit candle under your bed. Okay, and not to be set on a candlestick, meaning it is that for that purpose. Verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So this mystery, when it's known, is like light. Amen? This is like light shining, you know, to be able to see instead of just wandering around trying to keep the commandments. And, you know, it is a revelation of mammoth proportions. And he says, so and then he ends with, any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. Because he's saying it to us. He's saying, yes, it's been hid. And we'll hit some more scriptures on that. Yes, it's been hid. It's been hid with purpose and everything. But now. Mm-hmm. But now. Okay. So, in that sense, I guess, because Jesus is talking about, you know, it's meant, the light is meant to be seen. Well, in a certain sense, we weren't just in darkness. Ephesians says this, you who were sometime darkness, now are you light in the Lord. This was, we were the darkness. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and darkness upon the face of the, you know, deep, and on and on. And we're realizing that he didn't leave the darkness there either. He said, let there be light. Let there be a candlestick. Don't put it under the bed. You see that? From the very beginning, we have elements that that match up with this. So, the dark place is our understanding, but when known, it is meant to give light to all, because that's the wording that Jesus used, that it gives light to all, because it applies to all of us. It doesn't apply to the holy ones. I don't know if we'll get to a parable, but any of you who've been around this when we've talked about this wisdom, and I think we'll, hopefully we'll get to that verse. But Jesus says he speaks in parables, and he speaks wisdom that was before the world. Wisdom before the world. What is that? Well, you have to say, you know, if you're standing on one side and you've never heard this before, well, I have no clue. I have no clue what that wisdom is. I have no understanding of that. And that was kind of my point at the very first time in Ireland, was to really press not explaining any of this, I mean, other than the wisdom, but not the answer to what the wisdom was. Because mankind only will apply it to what they already know. And we always do that. And we didn't know, and we don't know fully yet, what this wisdom before the world could apply to, because we live in this world, and we're looking for wisdom in this world. So, right now that wisdom is hid, except for God is deciding to share with us. I mean, he is. He really is. Hallelujah. I was upstairs studying and got a call from Tony and down in Houston. And he said, well, I dug out the first two sharings, and I don't remember which ones, if that was in Ireland or recently, but he said, he was here for the conference and he heard all of it. He said, I dug out the first two sharings and I listened to them. And he said, I know that this is the truth. I know that this is God breaking forth with something we would never have known. So, and he was just like, you know how he is up there, you know. And he's just going on and on, but it was so real to him, so real. And he said, I don't know it all, but I know that we're on the path that leads to all in relationship to this. And we are. So right now it's hid in general, and it was back in Paul's day. Paul is the one who started seeing it. But then a whole lot of people started writing about it. And I said Paul was, maybe in the New Testament. Prophets were seeing it. All right, Romans 16. Romans 16. Now you know that what we're discovering is that before the foundation of the world, before you existed, before anything existed, God decided to put us in His pure Son and make us one with Him. And in so doing, that would be our identity, and all sin and everything would be, quote unquote, voided out, because that's our identity in that Son, not in us or, you know. Do you understand that? That's glorious. It's powerful. And see, He can do that. And then Jesus comes because before the world there was no sin, right? There was no sin. But after He put us in His Son, His pure Son, the pristine Son, after He did that, and man, He created man and everything, everything went to pot, as we used to say. Everything went bad. Sin came. And so then He's going to have to send that same Son into the earth where that's not so pristine, not so pure, and come as the Son of Man and to take care of all the junk that wasn't there in the original part, just to bring us back to the truth of where we always were in His heart. He never changed His mind. He never changed the Son either. Meaning the pristine, the pure Son in whom we were before there was sin or anything else. All right. And it's the same Son, Jesus of Nazareth, the same Son, but it's not the same in so many ways, okay? All right, so Romans 16, did I say that? Romans 16, verse 24, starting with verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We went over this scripture, but I want to read it again. Verse 25. Now to Him that is of a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation or the unveiling of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, not known, but manifest, but yeah, there's a difference. And by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for obedience of faith, not obedience of to the law. To God only wise, there's the wisdom, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. All right. So that's laying it out. It's clear, right? But isn't it interesting that He starts that all that depth and all that beauty and everything with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's like Paul's carrying around this present for everybody. And it's so incredible. And he's preaching and he's establishing people and he's the revelation of this mystery just means the unveiling of it. It's being unwrapped. The present is being unwrapped. So, I wrote that this grace will be with will be with all, according to taking the lid off of what's been hidden. It's taking the lid off of what's been hidden. He wants you to have this. All right. So Mark 4 now. Mark 4. I guess I should have told you to save your place, but. When I write this, I'm just dictating. I don't even stop. Mark 4, verse 22. For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Does this sound familiar? This is just what we read, folks. There's nothing hid that shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So remember, then he went into the parable and he went into hiding it, the bushel, you know, hiding the candle, I mean, hiding the light. And he said, but put it out there. Jesus is saying it's time we put it out there. And Paul is saying it's time that we put it out there. So he says, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you hear this? How many of you feel like you're... I'm not talking about these ears. We all have ears except for the guy that was... Yeah, Malchus, the guy that was fighting in that fight with I can't remember his name, and he bit his, and he bit his ear. That is so irritating, I'm telling you. All right, so these key words are starting to be used over and over, and just remember that we are going to hit a bunch of the same scriptures at different times because they're going to have more meaning down the road as we get into this compartment, if you will, as we get into this area and then the next area and then the next area, because it's whatever we're receiving now, you can't imagine how open this is going to become. I mean, there's so much more. All right, so... I said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh. Oh. Faith's coming. And it's not scary. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. So, from the very beginning of my sharing on the world of Dunn, it's been just, I'm sure you noticed, it's just scriptures and scriptures and scriptures and scriptures and scriptures. Remember at the conference, we just read off and we kept going and we're going, you know, how many of these verses are there to prove that this is a reality? Well, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. So that's why there's going to be just so much scripture. And that's fun. That's fun. I mean, if you're a scripture searcher, I know Mallory is, and she's just giggling over here. So she knows this is going to be good. All right. So, Matthew 13, and we'll read 16 through 18. And the scripture after this is going to be in Mark 4 again, but I'm not going to have you turn there. I'm going to stick with Matthew 13. So I'll explain what I just said in just a second. Matthew 13, 16 through 18. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So, and it was in the parable of the sower. And again, I'll get to that. But, but it's these parables. It's these parables. We talked about it in Ireland, and that parables used to be just, well, it's like a nifty little story or something to try to convey some truth or whatever. Not realizing that it is the wisdom of God before the world. The parables are. And Jesus said that. Well, that means, you know, we're going to have to, because he's always saying when he's given the parables, he that hath an ear, let him hear, doesn't he? He says it a lot. He's trying to get us, because he, why didn't he say, see, if any man have eyes to see? And he does in some places, but basically, if any man hath an ear, because faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. And we move from hearing to seeing and on and on. All right. So I don't know how you felt when I read these scriptures, but I feel like reading them again. Matthew 13:16-18. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. And this is what Tony was saying to me. He was going, I see. I mean, just like that. He was saying it like that. I see this. He said, I don't see the vastness of it yet, but I see it, and it's there. That's different. The way he was talking, that's different than seeing scriptures and agreeing with it.
Amen.
That's faith.
Yes.
And it's spawning faith and openness so that God can do what he wants to do in us. And so he can do for us what he wants to do for us. Hallelujah. All right, don't turn to it, but it's Mark 4:13 I'm reading here. And he said unto them, this is Jesus, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Okay, so at a certain juncture, he's telling parables. He's giving them parables and stuff, you know. And the disciples come to him and says, why do you talk to them in parables and stuff? And that's where he says, blessed be your eyes because they see. So he's saying these parables have eternal wisdom. A wisdom that you can't get from the earth because they're not of the earth. They're before the world. So still in Matthew 13, verse 33 now. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Okay, well, usually we think of leaven as bad. But in this case, he's saying the kingdom is like this. The kingdom is like leaven, that this woman hid in the dough, if you will. She hid it in there until it all was filled up with it. Do you get it? Do you see what this is saying? This is eternal reality. God is the woman that's put the leaven in there so that we'd get the reality of this. I wonder, and it just came to me, but I don't know, and this probably isn't right, but it just came to me that, you know, at Passover, nothing could have leaven in it. And we would always think, well, it's because it's bad and everything. But what if it was so good and it just wasn't the timing? Because all they're doing is killing a lamb, thinking about another lamb instead of the lamb being there and being given in us. So he hides that in us and it starts spreading. Kingdom of God. It didn't say the kingdom of heaven in that first one that we read. All right, so verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, here it comes, that it might be fulfilled or filled full, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Anybody get chills when that? I did. But that verse right there is the one that got me. Was the first one. It was just like a a little butterfly or something. But I looked at it again, and when it says, this has been hid, these parables, they've been hid in simple sayings, like leaven. You put it, but then you hide it in there, and then you get more. You go, well, we know, we cook. But no. Things spoken by the prophets saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And God starts opening the word. God starts feeding us leavened bread, if you will, if I may step over that line a little bit. The thing that will grow in us. So, alright, so the next one, I'm going to give another parable here, but it's in Luke. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 40 through 43. So if it's a parable, who's probably talking? Why would Jesus be the only one probably talking? Because he's the only one who's before the foundation of the world. And he's the only one who was there in the Godhead deciding what they're going to do and how they're going to do this thing and how when it gets down toward the end, what's going to happen in opposition to everything that most of the religion teaches. So listen to this. Luke 7, verse 40 through 43. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Okay. Before we read on, they both had nothing to pay. It's like the end. It's like coming to the end and we're all worried about the judgment seat. But the judgment seat is really the mercy seat. You do know that. It's the same seat. The mercy seat. And they're coming there fearful because they have nothing. I'm getting older. I think about stuff like that and I think, well, did I do enough? Did I have enough? Did I, whatever. I'm not like probably most of y'all over that kind of stuff because I don't really, but I, it comes to my mind. Well, what's it going to be like to stand before God? Well, in our process, and this is just a little picture right here, but in our process, we're going to deal with judgment. What judgment really is and how it is carried out. And it might have a few twists and turns for you. All right, so they're both there. They're both owing. I owe you, Lord. I owe you this. And I didn't, I don't have anything now. I'm lacking. I guess I'm going to be judged. Don't you think they probably thought that? But they didn't realize they stepped into the world of done. And he frankly forgave them both. But there's more. Because there's more in his heart. Okay? So it says, let's go to verse 42 again. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, this is Jesus, this is the judge. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. I wrote down, Jesus is going to take us to a place where we can love most. Think about what that, I think you got it, but think about what that just meant. He wants to take you to a place where you can love most. You're thinking, well, if I owe so much more, he's going to hate me more. I'm going to be judged more. If my big debt that I can't pay.
That's right.
He said, no, it's so big that you'll just love him. You'll just love the Lord most. So, Jesus is going to take us to a place where we can love most by him forgiving all we owe. So, I mean, they both were in the world of done, right? They both were forgiven totally. But there's that little extra for Jesus. And it's not being given by the good guy who only owed a little bit. It's being given by the one that owed way more and couldn't pay. He's the one who loves most. Do y'all see that? Isn't it amazing? Let's see, I also wrote, in Jesus' parable, we would think the most worthy one would be the one who owed least. Well, we're shooting to heck the law. This is nothing like the law. This is freedom in incredible depths. But if we think that he just forgives us a little bit, he's saying, this is Jesus talking. He's saying, you're not going to feel this as much as that person is. Can you see how that would happen though? You know? A little bit like, well, I don't want to say that because it's a good part of what's coming up. Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians 1:4. And I'm not sure at this stage, but once I start really digging into like books of the Bible or something, Ephesians will probably be one of the first ones I go to. It's a goodie. It's a goodie. Ephesians 1. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. All right, so there's several things there. We probably in the past read this, okay, he's chosen us before the foundation of the world that we would be, I want you to be holy. I've chosen you to be holy. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, I chose you before the worst foundation of the world because I knew you'd be holy and without blame. I mean, that word, those words without blame, that'll shoot down everything, won't it? You know, we're all to be blamed, if you will, but he doesn't blame us. He takes it away. Okay. So, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Okay. So this is him choosing before the foundation of the world, the son that we will be in, the pure son that has no blame. And that is the epitome of holy, but it's not us. We're in the one. We are one with him. We have been joined to that Jesus, if you will. And this will always, I'm telling you, if you start reading these scriptures right, this will always lead you out a little way, and it'll bring you back to the pristine Son. You will continually be finding out, well, that's who he's talking about, because we're trying to get Jesus to come fix us. Instead of, because Jesus is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is the Son of Man. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Son of the Father's love. All right. So, and to stand before him in love. Now that can be read all kind of ways. But in light of the parable we just looked at, maybe you really would be in love. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could see that. You just go, oh my God, I want to marry you. And he'll go, we're already married. We're already one. You know what I mean? I mean, anything that you would want to try to happen, it's already taken care of. isn't that crazy? Okay, so Ephesians 2:4. Okay, so this it starts with, but God is talking about our bad stuff. But now verse, Ephesians 2:4. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Good. Good man, Randy. Thank you. You did one thing right. All right. But God, that's talking about the Godhead. So where do you think that's coming from? That comes before everything. That's the Godhead. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he hath loved us. And I see the reason why I cut off certain portions of this is you have a Bible. It's amazing. But it's good to hear, but God, who is rich, and this is, where is this being funneled from this verse? It's being funneled in his rich mercy. It's being funneled in his great love. And it's just overwhelming because he's made a way where we didn't think there was a way. All right. So let's see what time. Oh, we're running over here. Well, gosh, I have a bunch of other scriptures here. So since it's a bunch, we're going to stop. Anybody want to, while I'm trying to find my marker here, anybody have anything to say about what the Lord's been showing or just an excitement or anything like that?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
When you were talking about the parable of the two debtors, mm-hmm. I went back to the very first time you shared in Ireland about the wisdom before time and how in Genesis chapter 1 he created and man has dominion. You know, a man has this and that. And then in Genesis chapter 2, he's made. And he's made a gardener and tills the earth.
Right.
And you're saying this is the wisdom of God to do it all.
Things, right.
You know? And I thought, oh, now the two debtors, they've always been created in Christ, but they didn't know. And they're lacking because they never let it manifest.
Right.
And so God says, that's okay, I forgive you because now that you know that you're bankrupt, I can make you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the wisdom of God to just let them just slide right into deep debt.
Mm-hmm.
Till they realize we're nothing, we're just soil. Like we don't have anything. What's created has to be formed and made. You know, and that's the wisdom of God. Right there, you can let them become debtors in the first place and then just say, I forgive you.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think of that debt, though, I mean, it's what we do owe God. You know what I'm saying? Well, it is what we owe God. I mean, he is God. But then this parable comes up. And it's a parable, remember, before the wisdom before time. Anyone else have something? Anybody on Zoom got anything? Mike Gentry, you look wise beyond your years. You got something you want to share?
Well, I'll just say this. Am I on?
You're on.
Oh, cool. It's because of we're all in Christ before the foundation of the earth, and and that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. We are the bride was also before the foundation of the earth. And so, you know, when John was caught up to heaven, he said, have you seen the Lamb's bride? You know, not just the bride of Jesus or the bride of the Son, but the Lamb's bride, which was before the foundation of the earth. He was slain, and it was, body thou hast prepared me. That scripture from Hebrews, you know, that was done before the foundation of the earth. It had to be because he was slain before the foundation of the earth.
That was it says so.
Yeah, and so that body was broken and given to those, you know, in Christ, the whosoever will. And, you know, so that's where my head is rambling around right now.
Amen. 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 Well, there is so much here, isn't there? Okay, Jim, you want to share
something? Yeah, I wanted to share, take off where Mike Wallace left off, and you were on that train of thought. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, I was volunteering at a place where it was a program for ex-felons, drug addicts, homeless people. It was, you know, a program where you know, they would live there for 6 months and be trained and be restored to life and everything. And I was part of the volunteer staff and teaching and stuff. And, so they assigned me to the Tuesday morning, 6 to 7 a.m. devotions. So I would go in there every week and teach. And one day I was teaching, and right in the middle of the lesson, this guy raised his hand, wanted to share. He said, so I have a question for you. I said, okay. And he said, have you ever done drugs? And I said, no. He said, you ever been in prison? I said, no. He said, you ever been homeless? I said, no. He said, well, then what gives you the right to stand up there and teach us? And I was taken back. You know, I was like shocked. And it was like, and so I just said, Lord, how do I answer this? And within, you know, I'm standing there and I don't know what to say. But so within seconds, the Lord just kind of opened my eyes and showed me Adam and my Adamic nature. And it was just like a flash in a moment of time. And I said to the guy, because I'm a bigger sinner than you are. And it was like, I went home and had to meditate on what I said because I didn't even know what I said, you know. But it was just one of those gracious things God did for me. Bailed me out of a question I had no answer for. But he just showed me Adam. And it, so from then on, it was like, it's not what I do, it's what I am in my core. Adamic nature, and Amen. That is ugly and depraved and bad. And so, yeah, I just thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus to save me from myself, I guess,
Amen.
From where I was born.
Amen.
So thank you.
Yeah. Well, I've had many times when I'm preaching and then I say something that's very profound and I've said, and it's probably on some of our recordings, I've said, man, that's good preaching. I wasn't talking about me. I was talking about what he just shared, and I said it and went, oh, that was good. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our Father. And thank you for the precious, precious things that you are sharing with us now. Father, your timing is perfect. We needed this, and you are quickening us, and life is being restored, and light is coming forth, and the word is coming alive, and there's joy, and Father, thank you Thank you so much. You are a wonderful Father. And Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You are the beloved Son. Oh, now we feel it. Now we sense it. When the Father said to you, this is my beloved Son. Now we really understand. You haven't even embarked on being Jesus of Nazareth yet. You haven't even embarked on ministry. To him, you'll always be the beloved, pure Son. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, what a dove you are. Oh, what a teacher. Incredible view you have of the Son and of the Father that we could never know. But you bring us beauty for ashes. And just like that dove to Noah's Ark, you bring back that twig that says there's life out there. There's life out there. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.